steady job. It's the AHOAW Annoying Show, man. For March 20th. How's it going? How goes it? Oh, it's spring tomorrow, guys. It's spring is already here, and then it's fucking freezing. And it's snowing this week. Last week, I had to take off my fucking winter tires. And this week, I need my winter tires. I ain't going back to the fucking Bell Tire. Bell Tire. One more fucking time. Sponsor me, Bell Tire, for my fucking endorsement here. But, anyways, you know, global warming. Fuck it, you know? So, little bit before we go into our this week's AEW Weekly topic, the series I call The Ruthless Regression. But before that, it's time for March Madness, which means a lot of basketball coaches are firing and shit. And I'm going to talk about my team, the University of Michigan and the Michigan Wolverines basketball. Juwan Howard, the Fat Five, he finally got fired after 8-24 season. Not a surprise. I expected it from the beginning of the season. I've seen this bad behavioral, just bad coaching, just not in the game to close out the game in second half for about a year and a half now. So this is not a symptomatic just to this year, but prolonged for a couple seasons. And they have had talent, but massively underachieved for whatever reason. And not to mention Juwan Howard getting into a fight, conflict, or physical altercation, not only with the opposing coaches, but with his own trainer, which I thought he was in a zero-tolerance rule. But I think the athletic director, Ward Manuel, wanted to kind of save the alumnus's face a little bit with Juwan so that they just did the mercy, slow mercy death of the firing they did this past week. And not a surprise whatsoever. I really thought when their Michigan's best player Hunter Dickinson left last year, it just spoke volumes, because I just go, your best player who gets the most number of minutes, who was going to be a lottery pick 3 years ago, and all of a sudden he just says, oh, this is NIL related, and leaves. I have a lot of flag about that. And then also they're having a really hard time getting the transfers in due to high academic demand of Michigan. At the same time, I don't understand how come the football is okay, but not basketball. But, you know, they need to really navigate these things through. And then I also have a lot of questions with the assistant coaches and others that have been on this team for U of M. So I have absolutely no idea who the next up-and-coming fresh big name basketball hire is. Some people are going, Juwan ruined the John Beilein's legacy. John Beilein wouldn't stand a chance, a minute, an hour in today's college basketball with the NIL and kids having a lot of influence and power to go between the teams. It's evidenced by other big name coaches like John Calipari, Rick Pitino, etc. So because of that, John Beilein ain't the answer. If any one of you say, hey, bring him back as sort of a caretaker head coach, it's not gonna work. He cannot stand in this time of this college football, the exact reason he left the Cavaliers halfway through the season, you know? So there's that. I'm curious to see what they're going to do. Is it Nedvedev from Colorado State? Dustin May of Florida Atlantic, who has a Midwest tie? And my expectation is, you know, Michigan, even as a basketball school, you know, is it a blue blood, not a blue blood, all that shit compared to Duke, UNC, and all those teams? I think this, you know, it's one of the first Jordan schools. It is a big brand. It's a big name. Some of you go, it's a football school. But I just go like, it's many sports school for U of M. So my expectation is high given the alumni network they have. And BK, do you donate? No, I got other shit to worry about at this point. And there are other more passionate people who are boosters at this point. So I don't partake in that donation. I would, if I had that much bandwidth, I would donate to academic side of things, but not at U of M. I would like to support other schools who do just as good job. Not saying I did not enjoy my time at U of M, but as an international student, my parents paid a lot of great things for them already. So I kind of go like, give back. I'm like, give back what? You know, you know, my parents are paying 1.5, double what local kids were paying in state anyway. So there's that. And I feel like, you know, my parents, and I'm going to be very specific here. I've been very fortunate that I didn't pay my way through college or have a student loan. I'm very fortunate. So because that's why I say they, my parents invested in me and invested in this school and virtually invested in the state of Michigan, where to a point where I'm making my own money. I'm back in Detroit and I lived here 7 years already in my life. So, and then I paid all my taxes and everything. And I would say the University of Michigan has gotten a lot, and that it's been a very mutually beneficial thing that we got over the, 7 plus 4 years, so 11 years in total that the Kim family over here has invested in the state and the communities in Detroit and in Ann Arbor. So I would say we're even. So they don't need my fucking money, you know, to pay Juwan Howard the $3 million buyout and the rest of that. They'll figure it out. Let Jalen Rose figure that shit out, you know. So anyways, all right, let's dive into the AEW, the Ruthless Regression. I'm having a tongue twister today because I'm very tired. Last week, we touched up on the marketing and lack of marketing, lack thereof. So I'm going to talk about the merchandising today. BK, is merchandising part of a marketing? Yes, it is. But I want to be very specific on what this company, the All Elite Wrestling, has not done well to a point where it's going to be, again, completely anecdotal, where I have spent less money on the merchandises of AEW in the last year and a half or so. So let's talk about that, shall we? How did the AEW, you know, get so much traction and the attention and whatnot? Well, obviously it started from the Young Bucks, Cody and Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, and that were the part of the Bullet Club, and then the Elite, thus the namesake of the All Elite Wrestling. And Bullet Club was a huge merch seller. Oh my god, 2016 was so a decade ago almost at this point. And to a point where it got into the, what shop was that? The Hot Topic, which was big news, and many of you are going like, Hot Topic, what am I in fucking high school? You know, all that shit. But it was a big thing because the Bullet Club was not a WWE property. It was a New Japan property. And then the t-shirt looked good. And there are a lot of spin-off shirts that I saw other people make that's not a Bullet Club or wrestling related. And just sell the shirts. Something club with a bone soldier thing in it. With a lot of ammo and things. And then they pivoted into Elite, Young Bucks with their family, the Massey family, turning into, you know, every meme, every Twitter interaction, every Twitter beef turns into a t-shirt, and then it just sold like gangbusters, you know? And then there was a time in the beginning of AEW where it's like, oh, you mean that t-shirt company? Well, I would say that hasn't been the case for the last year and a half. So let's talk about it a little bit, you know, more anecdotally from my perspective, what seems to be happening. Number one, the t-shirt designs that I've seen the last year and a half that I stopped investing buying t-shirts, color variation, the design, etc. I am not impressed. I don't want to wear, like, Bullet Club shirt, you look at it and go, wow, I would like to wear that. I still wear the Cody Bullet Club American Nightmare shirt, and people still make comment looking at me. He's like, American Nightmare, that's a cool, good-looking shirt, man, from random people here in Detroit. And, you know, Young Bucks, they had their interesting design. Even Squiggly designed one. It was just unique, and it was a fun t-shirt to wear. And whether you wear it outside or where you just, like, wear it at home, etc. And AEW logo, 4 years ago, when the 5 years ago when the brand started, it was like a something of a revolutionary brand. And then it's like a more rebellious attire you wear, I felt like. You know, kind of like NWO shirt, right? But those times, it's been half decade. Just think about that. It's been a half decade. And then has the t-shirt games, t-shirt designs have like improved ever since? I would say no. I go to the shop, AEW.com, and I cannot find a t-shirt. And I just go, I want to wear it. There's no like unique designs. It's just a bunch of big fonts with like random ass words. And then I was just like, you know, I'm just going to pick a few t-shirts that I see on here. Sort by new bestsellers. What are the bestsellers in AEW? They have the leveraging the what was it, the Pro Wrestling Tees weekly, monthly, yearly all-time rankings, and all the bestsellers are still the old shit from a few years ago. Role Model DMD, Brody, Hook, his original t-shirt from 2-3 years ago, Super Click, that's not even a thing anymore, Rated R era, okay, that's relatively new over the last 6 months, Orange Cassidy, that's an old shirt, and, alright, and then the old Mock shirt, Kenny Omega shirt, these are all old ones from like 2-3 years ago. Britt Baker's, you know, and then Sting, who just retired. I like his Scorpion t-shirt, but that's still a bestseller. When you look at these new ones, other than Sting and pay-per-view, you know, t-shirts, all of these are like, what the fuck, in my view? It's like, why am I going to wear this? I just go, you know, bang, bang, scissor again. That thing just ended. So this is still one of the new t-shirts in the third row. Are you kidding me? Willow Nightingale shirt is pretty cute with a bright side one. I just go like, oh, yeah, I could wear it. But, like, I don't see it promoted. I don't see anybody wearing it, promoting it on the show. But then it's like, rest of this, I just go, Eddie Kingston, King of Bums. And I go, why would I want to wear that? Like, wrestling fans already have a fucking, you know, second disadvantage, second class citizen, like, feeling of like, oh my god, this is what we are, this is what we get represented as, aside from the body odor and all that shit. Are you fucking kidding me? I don't want to wear that shit. Let me go back to the newest here. What page? Oh, number one. All right, Whose House? Swerve's House. Okay, that t-shirt, that's a limited t-shirt. They're rolling out only until March 26th. And then there's this one, The Righteous. I don't know who the fuck The Righteous is. And the new AEW logo that just came out. All right, that's part of the branding. But none of these designs are appealing for me to, like, wear in the streets. Every flight is a red-eye flight. What does that even fucking mean for Top Flight? I don't get it. FTR, that's just their old logo, but different color scheme. The Outrunners. Who the fuck are the Outrunners? Infantry. Yeah, okay, they just started showing up. Bruv, that's the one, I guess I kind of go, okay, that could fly. But I, Mother Wayne, I just go, I look at these t-shirts and I just go, what the fuck? And there were some cool t-shirts, you know, working with the random Instagram designers for like best friends or something, you know, they had, but now all that unique design is gone. So I don't know who the fuck is like designing these shirts, because none of these are impressive. And you know who I used to say about this, me and a couple other friends, it used to be WWE. Like, when we compare 2019, when, you know, Toronto, they, SummerSlam came to Toronto in 2019, and they tried to do Raptors World Championship color scheme, the Raptors logo onto the SummerSlam. We thought it was the lamest shit ever, and it was just a parody of what they were trying to do. Now, wrestling in that sense is like, yes, it's parody as part of business. But I just go, this is fucking lame. I don't want to wear that shit in the streets, you know, for SummerSlam gear, exclusive gear. And I just go, I don't care. And then, like, what the fuck are these? Like, you know, none of these, like, Will Hobbs, I'm just going, Big Black and Jack. I can't wear that shirt. I'm not black. I could be jacked in the future. I can't wear that shit. Why would I buy this shit? Like, this is so stupid. These designs are fucking stupid and amateur. And then they have pages and pages and pages of these. And they're leveraging all, you know, the Pro Wrestling Tees, which is an on-demand producer of t-shirts, which I think has a negative effect, which I'm going to get to in a second. But these are trash. These t-shirt designs are trash. I sound like the Jim Cornette podcast. I think like Anna Jay had one that's like, got a fat ass and a bad attitude. And I go, how does that fucking rhyme? And then I'm like, am I going to wear that? Am I going to be one of those neckbeard fucking mouth-breathing moron fans that's going to wear that shit? It's like, you do got a fat ass because you're a fucking fat ass, you know? But like, why would I wear that? Why would I publicly wear that shit? I can't buy any of this. Second of all, some of these, you know, other merchandise, aside from t-shirts, which turns into hoodies and other things, they don't got no other tank tops, they don't have anything else that I see other than generic AEW women's logo tank tops. holiday sweaters, ugly sweaters, I guess we got. But I just go, I don't know. None of these are, and they're selling like jerseys and stuff. But I'm like, what's the point of it? Other than being a rare item you sell later. And I look at other accessories and novelties. So I'll give you an example. When we went to the AEW Collision in October last year in Toledo, one I did not want to go to, but Colleen insisted that we go for some reason. So we went. And we saw a lot of Jay White, Switchblade Jay White, and his cardboard cutout, which has been a gimmick. And they started selling the mini, you know, cardboard Jay White around the arena, which was cool. But I just go, how come I didn't know about this? And then how come, like, this was not on the website, and I cannot find it now. It's so easy to produce. And then now they have a cardboard version of, like, Juice Robinson, who's on the same faction team as Jay White. Don't see it. And I just go, why can't I buy this shit? Why are you draining down the money opportunities and only do on-demand ones, which just seems awfully inefficient in my view. When I look at novelties and other things, they had masks during the peaks of the pandemic. I got two masks. I got the Darby Allin and Penta, you know, Pentagon Jr., his stuff. But, like, there's nothing here. Foam hands? What do they have in foam hands? I'm looking at the website. Just Acclaim, Scissor Me. Is that the only people that, you know, have a finger, you know, gesture on this fucking company, on that roster? Patches, sticker. I just go, all right. What else? Title belts, belt accessories. I just go, whatever, man. Like, some of these are, like, a lot of these are incredibly lacking in my view. And I just find that agonizing. I just go, come on, do better. Do better merchandising. And I feel like in the last year and a half, I just don't give a fuck. I only ordered once from a CM Punk store going out of business. And then I just go, I'll just get a CM Punk t-shirt before they all go away. So I just got that. But I just go, I have no interest. And then all these t-shirts are bullshit and fucking ugly. I don't want to wear this shit. One edited note I gotta add in between. I just found out about this. So, newer t-shirts for the AEW games, a section I actually had no business looking at. Apparently, the whole controversy right now that came over the last year is there was an AI-generated design for these t-shirts that came on there. And I just go, I look at the design, it just looks like an AI-generated image. And a bunch of artists have complained, what is this? What is this? But it's just that, it just echoes to me sheer laziness. And it's just lack of respect for the artist this time. The actual Photoshop and Illustrator artist who comes up with the designs. And AEW lost a lot of elements of this. Whether it's curating from social media, whether it's curating from other things. This is lazy fucking t-shirting. And I look at these AI-generated image t-shirts and I go, I don't want to buy this. I don't want to wear this shit. Again, this looks like shit. So anyways, back to the original programming. And then the brand. I like the new AEW logo, just flat, no borderline. I like it, but the brand is in a shape where it just go like, it's not an attractive thing to just wear other than, oh, that show that bleeds a lot. I don't want to buy an AEW logo gear. And then, like, give me a fucking discount on the old AEW generic logo, you know? They don't even give that. Some of the hats, I just go, can you get New Era on this? Can you get, like, 47? What the fuck is AEW logo snapback? What hat is this? I don't know what hat this is. There's no New Era, no 47 brand, no Mitchell and Ness, none of that shit. And I just go, like, can you do better? They got New Era for the camel backpack, but I didn't even know New Era made a fucking backpack. It's not like fucking, you know, Gen Sport or some shit, right? I just go, why are they, like, draining money down and then, like, do a better job with this shit? So that's that. Now, on-site merch, when you go to the events, whether it's in Toledo, San Francisco, Toronto, Detroit, I absolutely had no interest buying a local merch. First of all, forget the one that, you know, people go, they always run out, which I think is a huge issue, especially sizes large, extra large and above, because the only thing they got remain is small and medium, right? And they don't bring enough merch for people to buy because, you know, I just go, how do you fuck this up that they don't have it? And what when Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, debuted, I think people try to buy the special one-off merch, the green items, but they were like, okay. And then the Revolution also for the Sting's retirement a couple weeks ago, you have to pay extra $100 to get ahead in the merch line. And yet, like, that was not good enough. And then fucking merch ran out. And I just go like, why do you keep running out of shit? Somebody's messing up big time. And it's not one of those scarcity creates demand. Sting is a one-off event. But, like, if you come to Detroit, if you come to Toledo, if you come to Toronto and have these t-shirts, you should have enough in stock, you know, based on the ticket sales or anticipation of the day of. And then you can sell those later. Like WWE does at time to time. And ICAW does at time to time also. But I just go, and you know, Toronto one, when they had the Forbidden Door, I wanted to get a merch for somebody else. But I chose not to. They had one for a Canadian tour that they had after the Forbidden Door. And this is our great Canadian tour of AEW. The fucker was fucking ugly. I don't want to give it to my friend. I said I fucking gave up. So I just got a Forbidden Door design on it. Detroit, when they came the last 2 years, I didn't even get to see the merch in 22 when they stopped by. When they stopped by last year in 23... I saw the fucking Motor City Pistons color in a generic black shirt with a blue font. And I just saw that and I just said, what the fuck does that say? That say this is very special for this local. You know, that I feel like they just slapped on Detroit with a little tire wheel on it. As to say, you know, this is we're here in Motor City. It felt awfully lazy merchandise. And they still sell out because there's these nerds, there's marks that will buy it. And BK, aren't you a mark and nerd? Yes, but a little more, you know, judicially spending money at this point. And I just go, I'm not impressed. This doesn't make me immediately go, I want to buy. And people do buy. And they run out. Which is unbelievable. I just, like, asked the question. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I guess this is where the merchandising and all that, they have a new effort going. But again, it's one of those things, and I just go, I'm sorry, once you lose me good, you know, with the attention span that we have. And I haven't really bought anything last year and a half, because none of this shit looks good. I'll just go back and look at nostalgia of, like, old Bullet Club shirt or something that along that line, but I don't want to look at it. And do they have other merch that I can buy? Whether it's a cardboard Jay White or mouse pad or, I don't know, fucking something else, other hats? Oh, I would buy a New Era fitted hat or a snapback. They don't have it. It's some fucking bum-ass random blank, you know, hat. That's, like, still 70% of the price. Like, why can't they do this? Like, they got Adidas polos. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I don't know which corporate, you know, branding they're using, but, like, I like the Nike ones they had when they came out, and then they moved to Adidas for $60. I'm just buying a corporate merch here, which I'm okay with as long as it looks good and it's good quality and good brand that I can go with in my color and my attire palette. I just go, I don't fucking see it. I really think at some point they gotta revisit the whole pro wrestling merch t-shirt model of on demand, because they clearly cannot print enough t-shirts to sell in these places. And it happened in All In at the Wembley last year, apparently. They just ran out of shit fast. That happened again at the Revolution. And then, like, tilted towards larger sizes for the bigger, usually cisgender male out here. And I just go, come on, man. Like, it's just unbelievable. And then there are willing people that are willing to spend money, but because of a fucking continuous fuck up and just shitty looking designs, I just don't care. And is there any other merch, like, you know, toy business is going, but I just go, all right, but I don't see toys getting promoted as much as they used to. And then I just go, are you trying to attract kids? You have other belts? You have any other mini ones? I don't fucking know. I don't see it as much as I used to. I wish I did. But I just don't. I see some Jazz War, you know, posts time to time on AEW Instagram. But do I hear it? Do I see it on a discount and say, go get it? It's Walmart exclusive. I have to actively seek it. And then the fact that, like, there's no real variety or novelty to these items, I just keep losing interest. And merchandise is a huge factor. It's not only is not... So they got a double whammy of a problem here. Number one, shitty design. That just makes me cringe trying to buy a shirt or hoodie. Number two, lack of diversity in merchandise and lack of promotion of it. That goes with the marketing at this point. Number three, the cool factor is definitely off after 5 years at this point, which makes it harder and harder for me to re-engage in spending money. And then I look at the manufacturers that they use and I just go, why would I spend $28 plus $6 shipping for non-new era, non-47 brand, non-known, you know, thing? Because it looks like they're just running their own fucking shop, and which makes it look very amateurish to a degree. So that's my beef. And then the lack of available stock items in the actual events that I fucking showed up on, you know? And then I noticed this four times in four different fucking venues. So, anyways, I know they're addressing it. I'm not saying anything new, but I'm just gonna... This is just, again, this regression of this brand is awfully, awfully frustrating because I am tuning out, you know, from my spending habits of it. And I know they're listening. I know they heard this many times, but here just... I'm going to put my voice to the complaint, per se, or the feedback to it. So this is that. And then I'm going to have more of this in this continued series called The Ruthless Regression. So what are we going to talk about next week? We'll find out. Is it the creative? Is it the TV channel? Is it the availability? Are there accessibility of it? Or is it something else? You know, attracting my friends and just making it a fun time to go to an event. Let's see. We'll find out. See you next week, and happy spring, everybody.